All right, Georgie, got some exciting news, man.
Tell me, bro.
My dad strength finally kicked in.
Huge.
I know, huge.
Congratulations, dude.
Thanks, man. I just realized that yesterday I'm mowing the lawn on Saturday.
One-handed you're doing it.
Man, I might as well have been. Like, basically, I know how it feels to mow the lawn, do it every few weeks, and then just out of nowhere, I'm not breaking a sweat. Crazy. And then, like, I figure, why has that happened? Obviously, it's the dad strength. I'm carrying around a little baby 6 kilos every day, multiple times a day. So, man's been working hard, man.
What about, like, if your daughter's in danger? Do you, like, triple your power?
I would assume so. It hasn't happened yet, man, I wouldn't put anything past me at the moment.
No, you could lift the car if you had to.
Man, how do you think this table got here? One hand, just bang. I just looked at it.
There's no other way to get this table here other than dad strength or the crane. That's it.
That's it. Pretty much, man. But yeah, welcome back, George. Obviously, I did the solo pod last week. You weren't feeling well. Apparently, you're still not feeling great.
No, bear with me, guys, if I like pull out a tissue, just like look the other direction, man. Got this, I don't know, 2 week flu thing that's going around. That's, I don't know, man. You don't want this shit. You do not want this shit.
You don't want it. I'm still suspicious it's got to do with Carlton's form, but...
It could. That could be the reason for my sickness. Who knows?
No, thanks for coming, man. I guess we'll get into the footy. Before the first game, though, quick shout out, flowers for Dusty and Tomahawk retiring this week.
And they both just retired and just decided not to play. Like, Dusty, not even like a speech.
Is Hawk... Oh, does that surprise you?
Well, maybe. I kind of expected something in the Richmond rooms.
Nah. Not from Dusty, man. Even if he did, it wouldn't be on like recorded or anything.
I don't actually know if Dustin Martin knows how to speak English, to be honest. I've never heard him.
He's a footballing machine.
I've only heard him say, "Woo!" That's it. Hey, Dusty, you've won the Norm Smith and you guys have won the flag 3 times. Woo! Oh, thanks for that input.
Pretty much, man. Do you reckon he's like top 3 or 5 all time? How high do you rate him, just quickly?
This is coming from a supporter that's never really seen much success. So, like, they obviously talk about him as a big game player. And he is. And, he's, you know, 3 Norm Smiths is crazy. I don't know. I tend to not look down on players that have been consistent throughout the season. Mm. Like, I mean, was he a better player than Dangerfield? Potentially no. But he's had more impact in finals. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know where to put... Do you put extra... emphasis on the finals. It's easier to do that because that's the end result. But I kind of look at a player like I don't judge Cripps for not having final success. You know, he's still a superstar. So, but yeah, he's one of the greats. There's no doubt about it.
I think in terms of impact in finals, which for me really just says when he cares, he is the best. But how much has he cared during the round?
Do you think
season? Do
you think he's not caring in the season? Or
I think he cares. Like, there's a baseline care, but I think like when it matters and he can hit that next level, I think he hits a level that I don't know how many players are able to hit in the finals matches. Like, even Lance Franklin in big finals, he wasn't like carrying the team over the line. It's just that he was on a great team and did his role. But Dusty was like literal carry in a lot of those finals.
Yeah, that's without that can't be denied.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, legend. And even Tomahawk, man. Like, I remember back when he had that final against Collingwood where he announced himself after halftime thinking, geez, like, all right, he's finally good now. And then he's just been so consistent since then.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, very consistent, you know, and also very high. It's spoken about every time you talk about Hawkins, but very high assist type of player.
Yes.
And also one of the best forward / ruckman players in the comp where, you know, anytime he's in a forward 50 contest in the ruck, he just pushes the player out and kicks it. So, yeah, look, it's going to be weird watching Geelong and Richmond without those two players, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, Geelong, we'll get to them, but they're looking pretty good. I think there's some light for them in the forward line, despite his presence.
Well, the other thing is, I think both of these players need to go. Yeah. I don't know whether Dustin Martin's going to... whether that retirement means retirement or it means...
I think so, man.
I think it means retirement, personally.
I think so. Unless he needs the money, which, you know, I wouldn't begrudge him for that.
I don't think he needs the money, man. Yeah. He did all those Bonds ads.
Well, man... the more money you have, the more you spend. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Look, Dustin Martin is not the player he used to be. And Hawkins is not the player he used to be. So, retirement, yes. You need to retire. And it's probably for the best of your team to give other people opportunities. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Richmond necessarily have players to replace Dustin Martin. But Geelong have like Shannon Neal and these type of players that need game time.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's time. And plus, they're like, Hawkins is like 40 years old, man.
Yeah.
Or at least like 35, 36.
Yeah.
That's pretty old for a football player.
He's pretty old. Well done to those guys. Flowers for them. Let's get into it, Georgie. So, first game of the round, Friday night. Sydney gets over the line to the Pies. 3 points. Collingwood had it, man. And they got Collingwooded.
They did get Collingwood. They nearly got Collingwooded last week against Carlton. Mm. Thanks, Mitch McGovern. Well done, man. I didn't get to mention that last week. Look, the thing about this game is Sydney's been the best team all year. And then they've had a bad 6 weeks, as we all know. And the whole commentary was just like, can Sydney get back to their best? Can Heaney get back to his best? Can Warner get back to his best? That's all they talked about. Just like as if like this team had just completely fallen off the horse and was the a shadow of what they were, and which is kind of true. But the whole narrative of the game was, can they get back to their game? And then in the fourth quarter, Heaney 14 touches and a goal. Warner 14 touches and a goal.
Unreal, both of them, yeah.
Goulden kicks a match-winning goal. And so they did. They did get back to their best when they needed to. Hmm. They kicked the last 5 goals, I think, and they got the win that they much needed. And after all of the craziness of Sydney, they'll still finish the season first.
Most likely.
And it's all good. It's all good.
I mean,
it's all good in the hood.
It's only all good, though, if they go into the finals in good form, because it's too close this year. You get found out if you're not playing your best footy. So, I mean, there's still 2 more weeks for them now to fully right the wrongs. And then it'll be a distant memory if they can get back on the horse and be playing 2 finals at the SCG.
That's what I think will happen, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think their star players are incredible, like you just mentioned. But it's often in the finals not your star players that win it. Like, guys like Dusty are rare. It's usually just the collective team, and like your weakest player needs to be strong still.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Is Papley going to be back? Do you know?
I think he will be.
I think he will be, yeah. If he is, that's pretty huge for them. But yeah, no, that last quarter, man, you know they kicked 4 goals from stoppage in the last quarter.
Mm.
Insane. You're lucky to do that for the game.
I think they're the type of team that like will get some confidence from that win, because they kind of just got it off their back. But I also think they're the type of team that can really rise to the occasion. And I think when it comes down to finals time, so let's say they finish top 4, they got their double chance, they get their home final. I just think they can flip that switch, and I think they're going to be pretty deadly. Mm. So I think Sydney will be okay. I'm not as confident that they're going to win the flag like we were mid-season where they were unstoppable, but I think they're going to give themselves a pretty good shot at it.
Mm. Fair enough. What about the Pies, man? Done?
Yeah, they're done. Look, they just missed too many opportunities throughout the whole season. It's just one of those ones where they started really slowly and they played catch-up ever since, and I don't think they ever really got their best game going. Mm. Yeah, they've had injuries throughout the season as well. I think this against Sydney, even against Carlton last week and the last couple of weeks, they've started to play better football, started to have that identity back a bit. But just a little bit too late, I think, for the Pies. But, you know, you can critique their season, but at the end of the day, they had premiers last year. So I imagine even though as a Pies fan, you're going to want them to front up every year and compete every year. Their consolation prize of missing this final series is the fact that they won last year. So
yeah.
There's a year grace, I think.
Mm.
Everyone wants to defend their title, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's back-to-back years now where the premiers haven't made the finals,
mm.
which is unheard of. I don't think that's ever happened in my lifetime, twice in a row.
Yeah.
Crazy. I did want to say, though, what did you make of the excuses from Craig McRae about that 50-meter penalty?
Pathetic,
no call?
Man. Don't they play like every game at the MCG?
Good that you bring that up, because that was my next point, right? Listen to this crazy stat. It's actually insulting, and I can see why interstate teams, and even me as a fan of a Victorian team, he's disgusted by this, right? 11 games at the G this year so far, out of what, 20, what are we at, 21? 3 at Marvel. They've only gone into state 6 times all year.
It's insane. Is that even a lot? How does that compare to the Carlton and stuff?
We can check. It's probably similar with the Carltons and whatnot, but man, I know North for sure hasn't played that many games at home, because I haven't been to that many games. So insane, right? And to say that 50 would have been called, like, the fact of the matter was, the guy was chasing McStay on the lead. Ball's marked. He's taken a few steps to slow down. By the time he's got an opportunity to go back on the mark, McStay's off because it's crunch time.
Yeah.
So I think, like, to expect the ump to just pay 50 right then and there without giving the guy a second.
Look, I think...
crazy.
I think it is a textbook free kick.
I think you reckon it is?
Yeah, I think it's a free kick. I recall Carlton getting a couple of 50s this year in that way. So I think it is a free kick, but, bro... 2 weeks in a row, you're up by 30 points and you nearly lose after the siren and you lose.
Mm.
That, what type of coach looks at a 50 or a free kick that didn't happen and looks at that as something to bring up in a press conference? If I was a Pies fan, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
What and about the fact that you were up by 30 points?
And what about, remember that game against North where Bailey Scott should have got the 50?
Mm.
He didn't care so much then.
No, you can't look at, as a coach, you can't ever look at umpiring.
Yeah. Well, look,
as an excuse.
Like, there's a few like exceptions I'll give to that, like the time where the Suns lost to that Ben King, Max King free kick. No, Ben King. The Ben King from the Saints free kick. Remember that one earlier in the year?
Yeah.
That for me was soft, right?
I get it.
That's
get
a blatant one.
I get it, man. Like, there's circumstances, but nah.
This one wasn't to me, just for the record. And, like, there was a few deliberate out of bounds that Collingwood gave away. They were both deliberate.
Mm.
And they got found out on them both. So, again, I don't know. That's poor form for me.
Yeah. You're playing enough at home. It's a signal maybe of a team that's losing their edge a bit if they're starting to complain about umpires.
Mm.
No, it's... Even when, like, you start to get a couple of injuries and your coach starts bringing up injuries for the reason that they're losing, I don't like it.
Mm. Yep. So. Fair enough, man. We've got to talk about North a bit now. Thank God we're an irrelevant team right now, because the excitement of the rest of the round has overshadowed how disgusting this was from North Melbourne.
Yeah.
All I'll say is this, man. Like, this was pretty much copy-paste of the game we played against them in Perth, except this time we fucked it up.
Mm.
Excuse my language. But, like... I've never been burning so much recently about a loss, because obviously we're North, we lose a lot of games, but I was holding my 4-month-old daughter in my arms watching the end of the game, like trying not to scream.
Yeah.
And like, good thing I was holding her, because I would have just erupted, man. You can't be up. Like, we start the game poorly, whatever, we're back into it, and then it was just classic new North, where like, we're actually playing decent footy, hard to beat. We're up by like almost 40 points.
Yeah.
Halfway or more through the third quarter. And then we do the classic North, like, give him life. We're only up by 2 goals in the last quarter. We tie the game, and I'm like, fine, we're just going to get steamrolled here. And then they do the worst thing, which is then go up again by 3 goals, and then throw it away within 3 minutes at the end there. 3 goals, yeah. Under 3 minutes. Disgusting, man. It's a full credit to West Coast for never giving up, and North Melbourne does not have the right to say, yep, game's done.
That now. Was in Hobart, right?
In Hobart.
Yeah.
Which people keep saying we play Hobart well. Man, we haven't won there. We won one game at the end of last year because Gold Coast didn't even show up. And otherwise, we have not won there since we had Sean Higgins.
Wow.
Facts. So, actually, that's not right. I think we might have beat Hawthorn a few years ago. But nonetheless, we do not have the right, nor does any team, but especially North Melbourne, to say, yep, game done.
No, definitely.
You play your ass off until it's actually over, till the siren goes. And it's unfortunate, man, because going back-to-back with wins, increasing our win tally by 1 would have been awesome from last year. But Clarko said in the press conference, sometimes you need to learn the harsh lesson. Like, you would have thought we've learned enough, but now that we're in that competitive stage, it's learning, okay, not just we're competitive, not just that we can win. It's like, hey, when you're winning, foot down. Make sure you win.
So, are you saying that your wins tally is the same as it was last year?
3, yep.
So, do you think that as a team you've improved from last year?
Absolutely, yeah. I think we're a lot closer to knowing who's going to be here long-term and who's not. We've had a lot of players sign. Guys like Charlie Common finally playing a season. Jackson Archer playing a season. Logue injured again, but we know what he is when he's fit. So, like, I would say we've found another 4 to 5 players that are like, yep, they're going to be around.
Yep.
McKercher, Duresma, Archer, Common actually contributing. So, that's very positive stuff. Now, in saying that, the bottom end of our list is just still not good enough. So, that's going to be where the big change has to come. And, like, guys like Luke McDonald, I know we celebrated him last week, 200 games, very quickly reminded us why we're just sort of sick and tired of seeing him play. Like, as a captain, just didn't stand up when we needed him. Kicked it on the full, missed the mark at the end there. Like, you know, it is what it is. But overall, I'm optimistic. I think the fact that we're learning how to win now is a good thing. Mm. It's just we stuffed up big time. There's no two ways about it. And West Coast, credit to them. Guys like Elliot Yeo, he only had like 17 touches, but kicked 2 goals when they needed it.
What changed for them to get momentum kind of after you had ascendancy?
Look, it's cliche, but their experienced players stood up. McGovern was a monster. Yeo was a monster. Allen killed it, 5 goals. Darling abused Luke McDonald. Didn't get that much of the ball, but every time it was a contest, he was winning it. You know, so basically all of their experienced players stood up when they needed it most. And North's... Like, even Sheasel, you'd expect to do better in some moments. He had a really sore ankle at one point.
Yeah, I think he had a very slow last quarter.
Yeah, he was injured, to be honest. Like, I think it was one of those, like, contact ones where you can play through it, but he was sore. So, look, I'm not like a lot of North fans, like, oh, you know, we're never going to learn. It's like nothing's changed. Like, things have changed. Calm down. You know, you'd rather be learning how to win than learning how not to get smacked up. So, we're in that next phase. We've got a tough next 2 weeks, Dogs and Hawthorn. Probably definitely lose them both. But yeah, it, for me, it's full credit to West Coast. I did want to say though, man, Colby McKercher, dear God, I know he takes kickouts and gets a lot of cheapies, but this kid, man, he's consistent. Like, he's leather poisoning as a young kid personified.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So
you've had a couple of players like that. Young Sheezel's the other one last year and even this year.
Yeah. We've drafted well, I must say, like having Wardlaw, Sheezel, McKercher, and Dersmar, who he was never going to be like the rest in terms of instant impact, but he's a class player. Mm. Actually, thanks for bringing up the draft, because, man, the only silver lining in this loss is that we still have pick two. Nail it. You have to nail it. I don't even know.
Is there a risk of not nailing it? Because it seems like it's quite even.
It's quite even. People might say that's a good thing. Like, you're going to get a good player because they're all good. But we know that's never the case. No. There's always a few that fail the hype.
Yeah.
So, look, the record recently is good. We need to nail it. We absolutely need to nail it. I don't know what they'll do. I follow the draft very closely. I don't even know what I want.
Mm.
It's crazy. But, interesting game between two teams that both can't hold the lead. So, yeah, we just were on the short end of it, but kind of disgusting how it ended. But anyway, Lions v Giants, man. I wasn't watching this one because I was watching North, but what happened there?
Well, Lions came out of the blocks and dominated the first quarter, like really, really dominated, like crazy amount.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, right, well, here's your flag favorite. And then three quarters passed where the Giants absolutely dominated the Lions, and you're like, well, here's your flag favorite. But it's just that was a weird one, man, because to kind of turn it around like that at second quarter for the Giants and just kind of really do all the scoring for the rest of the game, I think Giants kicked something like 80 points to 30 in three quarters, which is an annihilation. That's at the Gabba too, right?
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, look, we've talked about the Gabba not necessarily being a fortress for the Lions, but I just think the Giants, when it all clicks for them, I just think that they look invincible. Mm. And you can say the same about the Lions as well, right? And it's one of those games where both teams got to show their best football, but the Giants did it for three quarters and the Lions did it for one.
Yeah.
And that's the result.
The most interesting thing for me, like, definitely that first quarter, but when you look at three-quarter time, Brisbane's up by 8 points, and you're thinking, despite throwing away the lead, despite the fact the Giants have come back strong, in that third quarter, it was 1-4 to 2-1. So you would think, oh yeah, the Lions have steadied it going to the last quarter, pretty much tied game, but they're up by 8. And then that last quarter is probably the most disappointing part of the game for the Lions. Like, they did not show up to it. 1-4, 6 straight for the Giants.
It's crazy. I mean, like, there's a couple of teams this round that really faltered and, like, gave up a big opportunity to set up their season. But the Lions have done that, because I don't think they're even sitting in the top four at the moment, the Lions.
No, they're falling out now.
They're falling out. So
they're fifth.
You know, at three-quarter time, they're in prime position to maintain their top four spot. And then, you know, the round ends and they're fifth and the Giants are third.
Crazy.
So, look, 2 points separates those two teams, but there's only two rounds left. So, I think that we can probably talk about it throughout the this round, but I think the ladder might be set.
You reckon?
Yeah. The positions, though, are all up in the air. Like, I really have no idea who's going to, like, find their way into the top four. Mm. The Brisbane Lions and Fremantle and are probably the only ones that can make it now that the Bulldogs lost. But looking at this ladder now, Sydney, Port, Giants, Geelong, Brisbane, Frio, Dogs, Hawthorn, I don't know what type of maniac you'd have to be to pick that order and that top eight at the start of the season.
No, never.
Very disappointing loss from the Lions and very good effort from Giants. And just goes to show it's still two rounds left, not clear who the best team in the comp is. Who are you most scared of in that top eight?
I was going to bring this up later. I've actually got a prediction
for
not who I think is going to win it, but I've got a grand final feeling of who's going to appear in the grand final.
Mm.
It might surprise you, right?
I think the Giants are the best team in this top eight, in my opinion.
You think so?
Right now.
I was going to predict them in the grand final, but the other team I think is going to surprise you because I know you don't really rate them. But I think Geelong.
Nah. I can't see it, bro.
I'll tell you why.
I know they had a really impressive win.
I'll tell you why. And when actually, transition it's, perfectly yeah, to their game, it. Right? So,
by the way, unbelievable victory from Geelong.
Yeah. And here's why I think they can make a grand final. Because if they're anything, they have, of all the teams in the finals now, an experience of playing in a grand final and winning a grand final in the last 2 years. Brisbane lost last year, but they're not at their best. We know their defense isn't fit enough probably to win it. The Cats, meanwhile, have been there recently enough for me to think it's possible, and they've got the young talent. We've always doubted their young talents not coming through. Now they've got guys like Dempsey and Sean Manor. I don't know if he's an experienced VFL player that they recruited or if he's young, but nonetheless, there's a freshness to the team now.
Yeah, there is.
Cameron looks possessed. Like, he's playing arguably his best football in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
So I just think, like, when it comes down to it, they've actually got the know-how to at least appear in that grand final. And not a lot of the other teams can say the same, both with finals experience and success. So, I don't know, man. I've just got a feeling.
They'd have to have the worst midfield to find a way.
Well, we keep saying it, man, but then they play Frio's midfield, and they, at the very least, they break even.
Well, the thing about this game, right, is it wasn't... I would have thought the game plan for Frio is to keep it tight, keep it contested, and let your bulls in the midfield smash up on Geelong. But it was actually an extremely transition-based game.
Yeah.
And Frio really went back to their kick-to-kick type of way to move the ball and to find opportunities to kind of slice and dice. Mm. But they just didn't do it as effectively as Geelong. Like, Geelong just... their counter-punch ability is as good as anyone's in the comp.
And that's because their defense is so stable and strong, man.
And they're really high skill.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were so aggressive in their transition. Mm. And they looked so much more deadly than Frio, punching from their back half to their forward half. And that's kind of what I saw the difference in this game. They just rebounded like at least twice the speed of Frio. And you could just see it in Frio's stats. Every time I look at Frio, I love seeing Luke Ryan and Jordan Clark's stats.
Mm.
And Heath Chapman and Corey Wagner as well all got the ball. It's just all back half players. And when Frio's at their best, they're not doing that.
Yep.
And it's just interesting, like Sarong had 22 possessions and 3 goals. He was their leading goal kicker, Sarong. Now, Sarong's a gun, but typically a Sarong stat line and a Brayshaw stat line looks like 35, 40 possessions. They had 20, 22, and that's because it wasn't in the contest. Mm. And you allowed someone like a Reece Stanley to kind of break even with Luke Jackson in the ruck, which is not something that you typically expect, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's good coaching from Geelong to be able to execute that type of game style. When really, if they matched a contested style, I reckon Freer would have a massive advantage. And the other player I want to highlight, if Geelong is to do something this season, they still rely on Patrick Dangerfield. And look at, like, there are a couple of players in the competition that are old farts that are still performing. Danger's one of them. Zorko, Travis Bogey's still all right. Pendlebury and Sidebottom still good. But if you look at Dangerfield versus Fife, which has been like a you know, a hot contest throughout their whole career, there is no comparison in the impact between those two players. Yep. Fife needs to retire. He's just doing nothing. Dangerfield only had 3 more possessions than Fife, but like 10 times the impact. Contested marks. He's still messing up goals as well, and he's still almost best on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that guy had just...
And well, my point exactly is this, man. Like, they've got the know-how, and Dangerfield, we know he's not peak Dangerfield, right? But he can do games like this.
He can.
And there's only 6 games to go now on their way to a flag if they were to go that far.
Mm.
Plus, potentially, if they win a prelim, a bye in between to freshen up. So, I don't know, man. I think the point about the midfield's a good one, but at the end of the day, they beat Freo in the clearance.
Mm.
In all the clearance, like stoppage, centre clearance, and so on. And a lot of, pretty much all their midfielders, bar Dangerfield, are defence-first midfielders, like Atkins, Bowes, Holmes they'll throw in there. Like all of them, at the very least, wouldn't get destroyed by a better midfield in terms of, like your Cripps going forward and Walsh, whatever, will hurt them. But if you can at least break even, which is what they do most weeks, the rest of their team is so solid. They've got one of the best key forwards, one of the best small forwards in Stengel.
Hmm.
Defense is solid. I don't know, man. I would be worried about playing them just because they've been there and done that. And they're the least like volatile team in the 8, I think. Like their best and their worst doesn't come up as often. They're pretty consistent.
That's probably true.
So it's interesting, man. But great win away. Can I just say as well, the Frio jerseys were very sexy.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Why aren't they wearing that every week, man?
I don't know, man.
Crazy.
Took me back to the Pavlidge days.
Oh,
and the Sandiland days.
Bruh. Oh, that was Jeff Farmer days as well. Yeah. If you want to go that far back. Jeez. Crazy. Oh, man. It's time. The Essendon game.
I've got to be careful not to go so hard because I'll sound like a hypocrite in 2 games' time. But
yeah, look, maybe this is one for me to go harder than you, but
yeah,
let's just...
Look, trust Essendon, man.
Ooh.
Trust Essendon to find a way to lose to the Suns. Didn't you say that in your thing?
I said in the solo part last week, you're correct. I said I really want to tip Gold Coast because it would be classic Essendon, but the amount of shit I gave you for tipping Gold Coast away, I couldn't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But I felt it in my bones, this one, man.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? So did the Essendon fans. Man, in that last quarter, like to kick 1-9, just in any quarter, is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like 1-9 does not happen, right?
No.
To kick that in the last quarter where you're killing the other team, and I was watching that game like, Gold Coast suck. They did this last week against West Coast. They just forget how to play in the crunch.
Mm.
Their structure is out the window. They're horrible. And you still let them win. And what a mark on this to end the game by Mac Andrew.
It's amazing because it's one of those floaters in the end. You can kind of just trace Mac Andrew following the ball. And he's the only one that looks likely. And he's going, he's run 15 meters to try and mark it. It's unbelievable.
Insane. And the kick wasn't a good one either. Like on the TV, it's like, shit, he's missed. Yeah. And then it sails in. Oh, man. Look, all I have to say is this. And I'm going to say all I have to say, but I've got a few more things to say. My first thing to say is this, right? Brad Scott, when you need him most, will not deliver. I said this all year. I've said it last year. It's facts, right? They've said all year. They've learnt from last year. We always were suspicious about that. What did they learn exactly? Same exact slide as last year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got a belting in the next 2 weeks just to top off, right? Essendon edge earlier in the year. Where was that? All right? This team is cursed. Like, and I'm not even saying that as a joke. I actually think like something is haunting the Essendon Football Club.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel the same thing about the Blues, man. I kind of correct. It's one of those ones where it's like, what will it take to make this team successful?
Yeah.
And Essendon fans don't have the answer. They thought that they had the answer. They don't.
Yeah.
Carlton thought they had the answer last year as well. They don't. There is something about these teams that I know what it feels like. Like, I actually know, even though I hate Essendon, I know what it feels like. And the fans would be just thinking, just in disbelief, because it's almost inevitable that they took this dive. And it's also hilarious and interesting in fashion for them to have a really big win last week to give themselves just a chance, right? Just a chance just to blow it to Gold Coast. Like, it's just they do all the hard work and then, like, just the easy beat stuff right in front of them. They just can't follow through.
Yeah. And here's the thing for me, right? Like, they've gone out of their way, and I'm going to call this guy and actually two guys out right now, right? You've gone out of your way. You've recruited Goldstein. You've recruited Mackay. And I'm going to call them out respectfully, because I understand maybe why they left. Obviously, North's not doing well. In Goldstein's case, he knew Jerry was about to take over. In Mackay's case, he was tired of losing. Fair enough. I disagree. I think you need to be the reason for change and not just bail, but fine. But Goldstein's gone there. Brad Scott's recruited him there to be the veteran presence, right? And when he was in the team, correct me if I'm wrong, looked pretty good, right? He was doing okay. Now they're deciding to roll in the crunch time with Draper and young Ruckman, who's barely established himself in Brian is his name, right? Yep. He's doing okay, but you've recruited Todd Goldstein. If you want to play the two-prong role,
is Goldstein injured or no? He's not injured.
He's in the VFL.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
You've also got Peter Wright, who's been a dead-eye kick for you and a great mark in the 50, but you're instead blooding Nate Caddy, who's a good player. My point is this, though. And by the way, Ben Mackay, he's gone to play finals or whatever. Massive L there, my friend.
Yeah.
But also, Dyson Heppel, right? You're saying the team's got no leadership. Dropped. So Brad Scott needs to look in the mirror here and say, what do I want to achieve with this team? Do I want to just wait for the slide to happen and then say, well, look, we're projecting for the future? Don't lie, man. You want to make finals. You want to win finals. Of course you do. Yet you're dropping your experienced players and blooding the youngsters at this time of the year. And Caddy could be killing it for all I care. But like the point is, Peter Wright is a big boy. He's established. He's a handful. Against his old team, would have been great to play against the Suns.
Yeah.
Right? Goldstein would have been excellent to handle Witts when Draper just run a bit of a muck. Like he did. Fair play to him. He actually played pretty well. But like you're relying on guys then like Jake Stringer, who's not to be relied upon. You're relying on Langford, who's disappeared second half of the year. So I don't know what these guys expect. Like, and it's all like if I was a Bombers fan, I'd be wanting Brad Scott out. I think there's reason enough to say this guy doesn't know how to lead us to where we need to get to.
Yeah.
But look, yeah.
It's looking on the outside, it's hard to know what their issue is and where their improvement's going to come from. Like, is it a play that they're missing? Is it the way they play? Is it a mental thing? If it's a mental thing, it's probably the hardest thing to fix, potentially.
I think it is mental.
Mm.
It is. They've recruited aggressively for years now.
Mm.
And it's got them nowhere. So, man, look, well done to the Suns. They played like dog shit and still somehow won.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to do. But it is, oh man, I do feel for some Bombers fans that I know. Shout out Zumi. Shout out a few others. But
after the siren, to lose, like, to have your season lost after the siren as well, where you just got a 15 to 20 second period where you just question your whole existence.
I felt like that from a meaningless North loss that was close.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine what that felt like.
Yeah.
Insane, man. But no, look, it's funny, but at the same time, for me, I just can't believe it. Like, this year of all years,
I can believe it, man, because we were looking at that team and we're saying they're no good for ages.
Yeah.
It just took right to the end for them to be exposed really for what they are.
Yeah. And here's one thing actually that Matza sent, right? Essendon has not left Melbourne to play a game since they last played Gold Coast 10 rounds ago.
Wow.
So that's an extra funny thing. Shout out Matza for sending me that.
Mm.
These guys have not left Melbourne for 2.5 months, and they've still botched this, and they've lost to Gold Coast, who hasn't won away. They've lost to the Saints. They've lost to the Crows, all teams outside the eight.
Hmm.
Red carpet's an understatement, man. Like, this has been rolled out for them like no other.
Yeah, that's without a doubt.
And they've botched it.
Yeah. Man. Look, at the end of the day, like, they don't have anyone to blame but themselves, right?
Correct.
This is just something that's in their own hands. It's not unfair. It's not like Adelaide last year where they got robbed and Sydney took that spot. Like, there's none of that. There's no crazy free kicks. There's no nothing. It's just
them.
It's just them. It's just them doing what they did last year and every other year. And I just don't know what's going to change with this team.
It's crazy, man. One more thing I'll say, actually, about Brad Scott. I watched his press conference because I knew he'd spew up some political stuff. And he didn't not disappoint, especially because I've heard this multiple times as a North fan. I've actually heard him say these words. Believe it or not, George, the players are hurting just as much, even more than the fans are. That's his quote, right?
Is that when he got asked what he said behind the closed doors? And he's like, well, that's why it's closed doors.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's a smart. He knows how to talk, Brad Scott. But like,
what about when he said, well, would you prefer us go 0-6 and storm home? As if like the only options is storming home or capitulating at the end. What about just a consistent season, buddy?
I think the fans would appreciate consistency, yeah. Beating teams you should beat, not throwing away games, not making excuses. But no, it's all good. Trust me, fans, the players are hurting even more than you. Mm. If that's hard to believe.
It is hard to
believe. So it's all good. Let's move on from this bullshit. But so Port got the job done. The other game that was on at this time, also a close one, but it was a grubby game. It wasn't good football,
hard to watch, man. Again, Melbourne fans, like, there's no weather excuse this time around, man. That was actually like a beautiful weekend. Like, where are the Melbourne fans? That was abysmal, bro. I've seen more fans at like Auskick.
Disgusting when you consider as well that they're not now, but a few weeks ago, as badly as they've been playing and like the injuries they've had, finals was well and truly on the cards.
Mm.
If they just strung together a few wins like the Dogs did and so on. But yeah, you're right. The fans poor as to not show up, right? Did you see how many seagulls there were?
Yeah.
I've never seen so many seagulls in my life.
That's because there's no people to scare them away, I guess.
No, that's exactly why. Crazy. The seagulls are like, it's just another day of the week. We can just live here. Insane. But no, look, pretty interesting game if you think of like what Port had to play for. They really needed to win that game, right?
They did.
Horn Francis. Hate to say it.
He can play, man.
He can play football. He's a powerful unit.
He's only like a second or third?
This will be his third year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he bailed on us after year one. He's played in Port for 2 years now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a gun player. Look, the fact that he can get those like 20 possessions, 2 or 3 goals is huge for a team. He doesn't need to be getting it like 30 plus like Rossi and Butters do.
No. Yeah, look, it's just one of those ones where Port fans will go, I hated watching that, but we did what we needed to do.
Yeah.
And Melbourne really could have won it. I mean, it's one of those games where Gorn just carried and did everything he could.
What a boy.
Yeah, I just, same kind of story with Melbourne. Like, they're up there. they're just lacking a bit of star power, I think. Mm. I mean, you look at their best player, or Gawn's their best player, but their best player in previous years, Oliver. Oliver looked so, like, worse than he probably has all year in this game.
16 touches, yeah, you're right. And the thing is with him, like I said it a few weeks ago, it's one thing to miss out on the preseason with all the issues he's had. It's another thing now to be at the end of the season and not have built into it by now.
Yeah, no.
Like, what's going on there?
He's miles off.
I don't believe that's any more to blame, like, the off-season. Like, what's going on during the year? You've had months and months to get back in shape.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, crazy to me. Pickett had an insane game,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I really would like Pickett to find a way to produce this type of form way more often, because he's extremely talented and he's got Rankin vibes, right?
Mm.
And you see what Rankin has done playing in the midfield this year. There's no reason why Pickett can't find a way to be that X factor and give their midfield a little bit of a different look. Like, he's a player that, when looking at this list, there's so much growth to come from him.
Yep.
An interesting one is Jack Billings has now played a full year at Melbourne. He hasn't been in the team much. That's a fail.
Yeah, I don't know how much they were expecting that to actually work, to be honest.
He's, you know, as a pick two, that pick two has kind of carried his name for a very long time. But yeah, I don't think that he's really got it.
Nah, not anymore. Not for the modern game anyway. It's too chaotic for him.
Yeah. Just looking at the other plays, there's a lot of kind of just names in here that you're just not really sure about with Melbourne. But, you know, they're still seasoned bodies. Like, players like, who is it? Tomlinson, Marty Hoare, Daniel Turner, Blake Howes.
Well, Hall was playing like North VFL for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're expecting him to do.
I mean, Viney's still good. Salem's still handy. Neil Bullen always gives a big effort. Mm. I don't know, man. I feel like they just need to reinvent their list a little bit, bring some excitement back into it, but there's still enough bones here to be a good team.
I think they definitely need to... I would get rid of Oliver. I know he's on a massive contract. They're going to have to probably pay to get rid of him, but I don't see any benefit of keeping him around. Like, he's obviously not setting a good example if he's not able to get in shape all year.
Yeah.
Gawn carrying, Petrarca will carry them. Pickett's exciting. Van Rooyen's good, but, like, you're right. And May and Lever, obviously. But besides that, there's probably a good 5 to 10 players. They're just like, geez, we really need to fix this up.
If you're smart, though, they could do something like a Geelong and find themselves back at the higher marks of the season relatively quickly. They could if they were smart about it. Like, they still have the bones of a list and the maturity to be a good team.
Yeah.
If they can find a way to do the thing that Geelong always finds to do, I don't know if they've got it in them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they've demonstrated that they've got that ability, and Geelong has. But yeah, they're like a middle-of-the-pack team at the moment that has bones.
Mm.
That just has to, you need to put muscle around that bones.
I agree with you completely. I think Geelong, I mean, look, they've never been bad as long as I can remember watching football, right? And I think there's a reason for that. Obviously, what goes on behind the scenes is the answer. I don't know if they can do it. Like, even Sydney, just always good somehow. Even when they have one down year, they bounce back.
They've got extreme talent everywhere, Sydney.
I'm just saying, like, throughout my life, seeing them never get really bad besides maybe once or twice. Like, I don't know, man. I would agree with you. They need to just redefine their list a little bit, but it's going to be hard. It's very competitive. Like, trying to attract players to Melbourne, you don't usually think of going to the D's. And look at their crowd as an example why. Like, disgusting. So, we'll see how we go. Port, on the other hand, they've got themselves second now, which means they're playing at home, if they keep it up, in 2 finals games. So...
I don't know about Port. Like,
they've been swept the last few years, man. They can't let it happen again.
Yeah.
But they're there. They've done well to get there. So, that's fair play to them.
Look, they're definitely a team that has peaked at the right time. They're kind of like the Bulldogs. They've come in and they've started to play really good football over the last, like, 6 weeks or so, coming to the right season. They haven't been that amazing this year, but I'd say that they're playing their better football now.
Yes. So, that's actually true.
I mean, like, what they did to Sydney was ridiculous. They destroyed the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the idea of Port winning the flag this year just doesn't compute in my head.
Mm.
I can't see how that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But it technically is. I don't know.
True. No, I would agree with that. All right, next game. Rip the Band-Aid off, George.
Is it me, is it?
It's you, man.
Look, bro, to be honest, I'm not sure what you really expect from it. Like, I don't know what to say.
I want you to get angry, George.
No, I'm not getting angry. Like, I actually can't provide any analysis or input. I don't know what to say, bro.
Nah, I feel you.
Like, I'm not... actually sure what to make of this game. And
would you like me to start you off? Because
well, let me just say this: like, I fully expected Carlton to win this game, and I expected us to win this, win the next two, and be in contention. And I've kind of expected Carlton to just win the last couple of games, and they just keep not doing it. Mm. And boy, did that look bad today. But the annoying thing, one of the annoying things about this game is the fact that I don't know how much of the performance is down to injury. And I would never, I never use injury as an excuse, as in like if Kerno didn't play. But when your players are injured during the game, that is an excuse when half the list is injured. And you say, all right, it wasn't, you know, Hawks were out playing you. Well, yeah, but Jack Martin got injured in the first quarter, Fogarty got injured in the first quarter, and Boyd got injured in the first quarter. Now, they didn't all get subbed off in the first quarter, but Boyd played most of the game. He didn't touch the ball. He did not have a possession. This guy was like a traffic cone, right? Fogarty's our pressure forward. Two possessions, knocked out by Jack Martin. Jack Martin, he got a hamstring by being rubbed down by the trainer. He got a hamstring. That's how easy it is. Like... Charlie Kerno, he got injured in the first minute of the third quarter. Adam Saad, hamstring. Mitch McGovern was off for a period of time. Like it's an awful effort from Carlton, but like I actually turned it off in the third quarter. And the reason I turned it off is because I don't know what I expect this team to do at this point. Like maybe like in the first quarter, all right, change the way you play. But in the third quarter when you're down massively and there's no one on the bench, like I can't scream at the screen and say, boys, pressure. I can't do that when you haven't been off for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So yeah. It almost gives them somewhat of an out or it almost... I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's like that is the, not the... Like, if this was a complete team with no injuries, could Carlton have found a way to win that game? We don't really know because they were challenged from the first quarter with injuries bad. And Hawthorn is a running team and... They run us off our feet, and we didn't get an opportunity to rest at all during that game. So we're just never going to win. We're just never going to win that game. So to have your season come down to a game where, in a way, it's almost like during that game, I don't know how much of that was in Carlton's control. And maybe that's just a wrong opinion. And I think most Carlton fans would be saying, putrid effort. Season's on the line. Where are you? Show some heart. But I'm probably a little bit more realistic. In this instance, in this specific game. Now, why Carlton are in this position now where they've lost five of their last six games or wherever it is, that's a different story. In this game, though, I just don't know. I just don't know, man. Like, you say that there's no forward structure here, but the whole forward line's on the bench. They're not tackling, not pressure. They don't have any space. Well, they can't run. I don't know, man. You tell me what you think, but... I just think if there's ever an injury excuse, this game was an injury excuse.
I hear you, but if I'm being completely honest, watching that game, if all your players were in, bench injuries and whatnot, like no one got injured, I think instead of losing by, what did you lose by in the end, 74? I think you lose by 45 or 50. I still think
it's a 40-point loss.
I don't think it would have mattered, man, and I'll tell you why. Hawthorn played their game style to a T, pressured you like stray dogs fighting over a chop on the street.
Yeah.
Right? They had 20 marks inside 50. Lowered the eyes every time, hit up open men every time. The Blues defenders were at sea, man.
Yeah.
So I just think like when a team is just tactically overrunning you, and like they, and some of the transition goals they were getting was ridiculous. Like from defensive 50, a random pinpoint torp up the field.
I saw that one.
Yeah. And then one more kick, and then one more kick to like two guys running into the open goal. That's called a structure breakdown.
Yeah.
But it's sort of defined by Hawthorn's play and then Carlton breaking down thereafter. Not so much by Carlton just not showing up, for lack of a better term. So I think, even if you were fit and firing, I think the better team was always going to win that game, and it was Hawthorn. And I tipped Hawthorn not because I don't think Carlton's a good team, but they haven't warranted a tip for a couple of weeks now. They haven't been playing well. Kerno on... I mean, think of it this way, man. Like, no other team has Kerno, right? So what does every other team do to score goals? No other team has Aaron McKay, right?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I just don't get... I get what you're saying. I just in this instance, I don't know. That level of injury, I just think it makes it hard for any team. I don't think any good team would find a way to win that game with that injury list.
I agree with
this
you.
This is this specific game, right? But at the same time, if I look at the game a little bit more, right, you're right in the way that the way Carlton played is similar to how they've been beat in all the previous games over the last thing. They just always look like they're playing chasey in the midfield. Mm. Like it's grade 3 camp and you're playing footy and you're just chasing the bigger boys.
Yeah.
They're always under pressure. They seem to make the wrong decisions. They seem to just kick it under pressure while the other team always has space and structure. That's got to be coaching or something going on. But I haven't been able to work out watching Carlton what exactly is wrong. They just look awful. They just really look awful. And there's only like one or two players that look like they know how to play the game at the moment. And it's not Walsh, right? And you look at Kerno and Kerno's... Is Kerno to blame? Is it the ball movement? Is it the space? But like, what I just don't get about this team is... They've got two of the best forwards in the comp. They've got arguably the best mid in the comp, and they've got one of the best fullbacks in the comp. And they're going to miss the finals. And halfway through this season, they were touted as the flag favourites and the best team. Like, how does this happen, man?
Yep.
We talk about Essendon. Like, Carlton's capitulation is way more embarrassing than Essendon. This is one of the biggest fails we've ever seen.
Well,
this is an abomination.
Yeah, you've got a better list, and you were in that same position as them, top four, you know?
Clear second, bro.
Clear second. So, look, you're right, man. How many years are we going to say, like, you've got these gun forwards, gun back, gun mid? Like, in my opinion, just as an outsider, your players, and you've said it yourself as well, but sort of in a positive light, like, they're brutal, they're, when the pressure's on, they're big boys. I think you just need more skill and better, like, higher IQ players. Because Hawthorn made ball movement look easy. Like when you watch a team play that well, it's like, oh yeah, that guy's open, bang, 30 meter kick. Oh yeah, now this guy's open, handball to him.
I don't think football has to be that complicated, man, but we've had that same problem of bombing into the forward line for as long as I can remember, and it's almost like you can get away with it because you've got really special players like Mackay and Kerner that can do contested work that most people can't. But yeah, it's just there's something wrong, and I think you're right. I've said it. There's no substitute for Class. You look at someone like in your own team, Sheezel, whenever he gets the ball, isn't it crazy how he just happens to make things happen?
Exactly right.
Our version of that is obviously not to the same extent, but Elijah Hollands this year has come in and shown what Class can do. And like that just means in the form of taking your set shot or finding an option in the middle of the ground. But when you watch him do it, you go, oh, that's refreshing, because the rest of the team can't do it.
Yeah.
We've just got headless chooks, man. We've got dumb footballers, and we've had dumb footballers since Favola, man. Like,
but the thing is as well, man, like you said yourself, like it's a high-quality play that makes it look easy, but it also is structural, and I think not filling the players' heads up with complicated game plan. Because look at Hawthorn. There's no way Warple, Newcomb, you know, Nash, these guys that are on the ball for them, are these kind of players that you expect to be leading a Class attacking outfit.
Yeah.
It's obviously that they're just making it super simple, and guys can just pop out of nowhere. Like Kal Shadir today, I've said it for all year, this guy's come in as a rookie and just plays tough, and he's always open.
Other teams just seem to make what Carlton does look more complicated than these two. I don't know why.
I think the answer is
it's too hard to explain, man. Like, I've just watched a team be in top eight all year, a premiership chance all year, a top four chance all year, lose their final spot, and they ain't getting it back now. Because Kerner's not going to play next week. Sarn's not going to play next week.
Well, I think
Marner's not playing next week.
Hawthorn's got Richmond and North. That says it all.
They've got an easier run than us. Ours is still a doable run, but we're not going to have our best players out there. And it's kind of like, I don't even want to play finals, bro. Like, what's the point?
If you make it right now, I mean, eighth plays Brisbane in fifth at the Gabba. What's the point of that?
Well, we ain't winning that.
Yeah.
In elimination. So,
do you think Voss is in the hot seat now? Because, like you said, it's an embarrassing capitulation.
Look, I don't think Voss is a good coach, man. But what I'm saying is, there's nothing we can do about it. Like, you can't get rid of him. You just got to find a way to work with what he's got. But
I think you can, man. Adam Simpson's available. Premiership winning coach. Go get it done.
Nah.
Why not?
The answer isn't... It can't be like that, man.
You've been through it, but like, when you were going through it, the team was never ready. Like, so the team right now has played in a prelim and they can play good football. So, I don't know, man. Simo's been there. He's had good forward line in the past.
I don't know what the answer is. I actually don't know, but... It just seems like if we just don't win the ball in the midfield and get it forward with speed, there's no other option. And we've actually been a really good transition team this year. We've won, like, at some point or most of the year, we've been the best transition team scores from defensive 50, which is not our DNA. I don't know why that's the case, right? But we've had a good turnover system, but now it just seems like we can't get the ball out of our 50 to save ourselves. We can't win the ball in the midfield to save ourselves. And we're just other teams are able to make us feel like there's just no time or no air or no space to do anything, and we just hospital handball each other. No wonder we're all injured. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, as I said, I turned it off
in the third quarter
because nothing was going to change. Like, there's just nothing that could have happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you expected me to say that we're going to lose by 70 points to Hawthorn, no, I didn't expect that.
Nah, I don't think you should ever predict that. What I will say is, on that 70-point margin, the disgusting thing especially is that you're tied on points now, but you threw away that the percentage lead. That's why Hawthorn's in the air right now on percentage.
I know.
Because they belted you.
I know.
So, it's bad, man. Anyway, it's almost impossible now. And the only way you'd do it is if you have two bigger wins and Hawthorn wins there next year, but you just win by more. Which at the moment, with your forward line depleted, does not look likely.
It's not happening, man.
So, sad, man.
I wouldn't be surprised if we lost to the Eagles next week, man.
You might, yeah.
Yeah, they're hard to beat there.
Yep, true. Next game, we're not going to talk about too much. Saints got the job done against Richmond. It's close in the beginning. Richmond sort of did that thing where they put up a fight, which is fair play to them, but they just don't have the list right now.
We've seen that 3 million times, man.
Just quickly on them, though. So, Dusty's gone. There's heavy, heavy rumours that Baker and Rioli are gone. Maybe even Shai Bolton. That's the one I think is least likely, but maybe. And Jack Graham gone. So that's 5 very experienced players out the door. Lynch can't stay fit. They're going to bottom out hard. They're going to have lots of draft picks, but they're going to bottom out big time, I reckon.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's what they need to do.
I don't think they have an option. Yeah. So yeah, it's unless they can recruit and get heaps of experienced players wanting to join them, which I cannot see, they're in a bit of trouble. Saints, on the other hand, sort of ending the year a little bit more strongly. Last week was a bad one, but you know, they've got the list to be able to compete in that mid-table sort of space. But with them, I don't know where the improvement really comes.
Yeah, neither do I.
Because guys like Wangani Malera have announced themselves now. Like, he's kind of what he is. I don't see how he can get too much better. Steele's who he is. Owens can get better, but he's not really that high possession player anyway. So, I don't know. Philippou was out today. But the Saints, for me, I think they're going to be stuck in the mid-table unless they can find a few gems out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, they've demonstrated, like any team this year, they've demonstrated that they can play good football when they're on. But, I mean, they've had a disappointing season. Like, they finished 6th last year.
Yeah.
But it just seems like the rest of the comp has improved at a faster rate than them.
Mm. No, for sure. And then the last game. So, man, right when we thought the Dogs were going to push on, maybe even make the top 4, they stuff up as well.
I actually tipped Adelaide in my personal tips.
Yeah, you're nice. What was your thinking behind it?
Well, Adelaide actually can play some pretty good football. And the Dogs lost pretty hard in Adelaide Oval a couple of weeks ago. And it just would make sense in this season for another team to just not take their opportunity. So I just thought Adelaide would find a way with Rankin coming back as well. And he's that X-factor player. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Adelaide's just one of those teams where you just can't predict. They can play good football. They can play bad football. Dogs have been like that this year. But as we said, they've kind of found a little bit of form. But they've left themselves open as well. Like, they'd be absolutely burning from that performance.
Yeah. I think just on Adelaide real quick, it's a real shame that when Tex was in his prime form, Fogarty wasn't this good and he wasn't ready.
He's a very good player, Fogarty.
Fogarty's career best form, and I think this is just him now because he's been playing like this all year.
Yeah.
You know, they got Thilthorpe fit finally. It's just a shame that like Rankin at his best and Tex at his best hasn't happened at the same time to see what they can do.
Well, the other player that has really performed in the second half of the season is Keyes.
Keys.
He's really come to another
Rochelle
level.
Has been good the last month
He's
as well.
He's gotten better. Look, this is actually, we talked about Saints, where's the improvement, but I actually think Adelaide is one of those teams that could bounce back next year. They do have a lot of threats.
I think their high-end players are very exciting.
Yeah.
Like most teams, though, it's like, what about that last 5 to 10 spots on your list?
Mm.
But there's no doubt there's talent there.
There's talent, man.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you, especially when their talented players are like key forward on ball. Your Rankins, your Fogarty's. Thilthorpe, I think, is the wild card in it all. If he can stay fit all year, he's shown a lot since coming back. And then, yeah, you're right. Like, guys like Keyes, I mean, even their defense, there's all these guys who, when you live in Victoria, for example, they're not in the news, right?
No.
Like Worrell and Hinge and these guys, but they're actually very good footballers.
Yeah. Hinge is very good. Michelini
as well,
a young player.
Curtin's a young player, just finding his feet now.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. I still don't excuse, like, the Dogs. You look at their stats, right? Like, Bont, Libba, Treloar, all sort of leading the way in possessions and whatnot, like you'd expect to see. Mm. So, it begs the question. I didn't watch the game to know fully, but sort of what happened, you know? Like,
well,
they're conceding 111 points.
I can see 9-18, and I can see Sam Darcy kicked 1.5.
Oh, did
so
he?
So, that wouldn't help. Norton got subbed out. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. Mm. I'm not sure. But it looks like they just got outclassed.
Yeah. Well, they're going to play North next week. And actually, interesting though, like the Dogs had 59 inside 50s to 43.
Yeah.
9 goals, 18. So maybe it was just a case of they never put on the scoreboard pressure. And just at no point in the game did they get close, really. So it maybe a missed opportunity.
It does look like their midfield that usually gets a lot of possessions was well under, though. I mean, Libba 24, Treloar 28, but like he's been averaging like 40s. Where is Ed Richards? Ed Richards injured with 11 possessions and a goal for Ed Richards, so he's down. Bailey Dale, no drive from the back line at all. So some of their prime movers just didn't get going this game.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough, man. So that's about it for the round. I've got a question here from our loyal listener of the pod, Chris in Crete.
Mm.
He asked us, when was the last time the Blues, Bombers, Tigers and Pies did not play finals in a single season? Mm-hmm. I haven't done the research to know.
Neither have I, but it is a very away final series, isn't it?
The interstate teams are showing up the
Who are the Melbourne-based teams? The Dogs and the Hawks?
Dogs and Hawks at the moment, and Geelong, you could say, Victorian. Otherwise, both Sydney teams making it.
This is going to be the least controversial flag ever. It's like, oh yeah, whoever wins it, wins it. I don't really care. As long as it's not Collingwood, Carlton, Richmond, Essendon, these teams aren't going to threaten. So no one's really going to have an issue with Fremantle winning it, Giants winning it.
Just trying to think like...
It's going to be the least, like it's going to be the tamest grand final day barbecue ever. Like, who do you want to win? Nah, who cares?
Well, that's a good point, right? So I've seen Sydney in plenty of grand finals. I've seen Geelong in plenty, Brisbane, Hawthorn, right? I've got family that goes for Hawthorn. So for their sake, I would be happy to see them in it. But other than them...
They're not going to win it. I would like to see the Giants win. Expansion club, they've been around it. Their best football stacks up, so you can't say that they don't deserve it. That would be good. Brisbane, it'd almost be funny to see them fail because they've been up there so long.
Mm.
Fremantle ain't winning.
They've never won one, though.
But they've never won one.
I don't think...
Do you think this is the one, this is the team, this is the Fremantle team?
Well, who's in front of them? That's really scary, right? They had to play Hawthorn in their prime. The one only shot they made the grand final.
Mm.
So that was never going to happen. I think, how funny would it be though, Giants v Freo in the final? Two teams that have never won a flag.
Yeah.
The stakes. Both only played in one final. Interesting. Anyway, we'll see in a few weeks, won't we? But yeah, Chris, to answer your question, I've got no idea. Probably never.
Yep.
So there you go. Let's just say never. I think that's got to be true. One more very quick thing before tips. Wildcard round next year. Don't like it?
You got to reward consistency, man. You're telling me after all this shit, you have a wildcard round, then Carlton, Essendon, Collingwood would make for good viewing, actually, because of those names. After having just the shit kicked out of them for most of the season, not deserving to play finals, one of them gets a wildcard chance to win it? Nah. I believe that you earn your right.
I'll tell you why I think it almost has to come in.
Ooh.
I'll tell you why, though. I agree with everything you just said, but when you extend the league to 19 and soon 20 teams with probably an NT team, it makes no sense to have 20 teams and a top eight. So I think extending the opportunity to the 10th teams, albeit disadvantaged by an away game, makes sense.
Look, from that perspective, I didn't think about that, actually.
That's the only thing I can say. But if they were to bring it in before Tassie comes next year, for example, like where's Tassie? Why are you doing it now? I disagree.
It is interesting to, you know, we stick with the top eight, but we keep adding teams. It does make it harder, just statistically.
Yes.
So I do get that. But yeah, look, I feel like you've got how many games in a season? 22 games or whatever it is to find your way in. Mm. I think that's enough, man.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But I think it's going to happen. I think when it does come around, people will love it, actually. Unless you're in it. I think the entertainment of it will be crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's almost a necessity, in my opinion, unfortunately, with the extending of the teams.
The AFL just always has to change something every year.
I like my idea better of just scrap the Suns, but replace them with Tassie. But anyway. All right, let's do some tips, Georgie, and then we're out of here. So the Bombers are hosting the Swans at Marvel.
They're not going. They're done, man. They're mentally beaten.
Is this the Giants game like last year where they get pounded?
I think it is, and especially because Swans probably have a second wind after finally getting their win.
Yeah.
I reckon they've got no chance here today.
Yeah, let's go Swans. Suns are hosting Melbourne.
Unless,
okay,
now that the Dons know that they're not going to make it, this is when they play their good football.
Nah.
Pressure's off in a way.
Pressure's off in a way, but I think the Swans, the fact that it's the Swans,
yeah,
is irrelevant. I think they're going to just pound them. Suns at home against Melbourne. I think we go Suns there.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go Suns. Giants hosting the Dockers. Huge implications of this game.
Yeah, I think the Giants, man.
Yeah, we'll go Giants. Frio, I haven't watched a lot of them this year. When Frio I have watched them,
could actually lose their last two games.
Yeah. Well, that would mean
Frio might actually be the way to get Carlton into the eight. Like, I've talked about Carlton today about their season being done, but it actually technically isn't. And that almost pisses me off more because it's like, oh, I still got to watch two more games and still keep one eye on finals after that display.
Yeah.
But Frio could lose their next two games and Carlton only has to win one to jump Frio. It's actually possible.
Win one? No, you're... Oh, sorry. Yeah, you are only 2 points behind. You're right.
Now we're gonna beat one of the Eagles or Saints. And yeah, Frio could, like, it's still possible for Carlton to get in from that way. We talk about Hawthorn, but it could be Frio.
I would agree with you because that's a hard game. They're probably not going to beat the Giants.
No.
And then who have they got the last week? They've got...
That was someone difficult.
Port at home, but nonetheless, Port's got their own things to play for. Interesting, yeah, man.
Well, Port will be playing for top four, so they're not going to want to let that slip.
No.
I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but...
Well, I think Frio is the worst of the teams in the eight right now in terms of high-end sort of ability. I don't rate them as high as I do every other team in the eight. So,
yeah,
it wouldn't bother me, put it that way. But anyway, we'll see how we go. So, let's go Giants there. Pies are hosting the Lions at the G. Lions at the G, not too flash. In saying that, I still am going to go the Lions. I think their forward line's too dangerous.
I'm happy to go for the Lions.
Yeah. Collingwood's defense is too suspect lately.
Have that fire in them now that they're gone.
True. Showdown's next. Saturday night. Crazy game. Whew. You have to tip Port, don't you? But I would not be surprised if the Crows won.
Adelaide show up for that stuff, man. It's a 50-50, really is. Like, I know there's massive separation between them on the ladder, but Adelaide just showed what they can do.
Where's Matza when you need him, man? Jeez.
I'll go Port. I'm happy just to go with the team in form.
I think we have to, yeah. We'll respect Port enough. Saints hosting the Cats at Marvel. Got to go the Catties. Doggies hosting North at Marvel. I'm going to the game. Hope we don't get pantsed, but got to go Dogs.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where they flex their mouth. They love playing you at Marvel, man. Historically.
I think I've been to more Dogs North games than any other game. Yeah. And I hate it. We never win.
No.
Please, just give me one win North. No, it's not going to happen. But don't get pantsed, please. Hawthorn hosting Richmond. Got to be the Hawks. Probably large win.
Yeah, I think they'll win the next two, man.
Yeah. And Eagles hosting you guys. I don't want to even be disrespectful here, but it's going to be a hard one.
It will be a hard game.
And they've shown in the last two games, I know they beat North and I know they beat the Suns, but if you actually watch the game, they didn't just win because the other team was bad. They forced their physicality upon the other team. I think you'll win, but it'll be close.
I think it's really got to do with what team fronts up, like injury-wise, because if Kerner doesn't play, Boyd doesn't play, Martin doesn't play, whoever else was injured doesn't get up, and we're fielding another four VFL players, it's going to hurt us. Mm. I don't have any confidence in this team anymore. Yeah. So I've been week to week saying, no, that we'll bounce back, but I'm over it now. Like, I can't after that.
I don't blame you for not having any confidence right now. Like, how could you? I'm going to tip Carlton, but my head's almost saying, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Almost. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that there's still a chance and that surely there's got to be a wake up. And let's not disrespect the Hawks. Like, the Hawks have punished teams the second half of the year.
Hmm.
And it was no different for you guys with a shorter bench. But yeah, that's about it, man. Thanks everyone for listening and watching.
Thank you.
Give us a like and sub as always. Mats, I hope you're enjoying your Freddo espressos. Yeah, actually, you're in cheeky Spain now, so enjoy your paellas. Enjoy.
I don't know anything about Spanish culture, but enjoy it.
Whatever it is, man, enjoy yourself. And yeah, thanks a lot, everyone. See you on the next one.
See ya.